World's on fire. Our culture is disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know what, why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed on this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
So something's happening here, and what it is ain't exactly clear. There's a man with a gun over there telling me I got to beware. It's time we stopped. Hey, watch that sound. Everybody look what's going down. Crazy, man. Crazy, crazy, crazy. I dropped my laptop. I guess I did. I don't know. Somewhere along the line, my laptop, which is next to my wife, probably the closest thing to me, it won't power up. So I took it into the shop to get it done, which means when I go to do show prep using my wife's computer, none of my links are there. Can't get onto Facebook. So I'm stressed this morning. And I got to tell you something. I had the most unbelievable non-night's sleep of my life last night. And I don't know if you guys have you ever had one of those where you're awake and you're not really thinking about anything. You're just awake. I had one of those last night. For the last time I looked at the clock, it was 2:15. Michelle and I go to bed normally 9:30. And I'm telling you, I laid there for like 5 hours, nothing on my mind, but I couldn't go to sleep. Something crazy is going on, folks. Something crazy. Something deeply spiritual, I think, is really, really happening to us. And I got some stuff I want to share with you, because a word came to me. By the way, God bless hydroxychloroquine. That thing kicked the butt of my whatever I had. It was chest, it was nose, it was fever, it was whatever. And I'm telling you, folks, those little I have some pills. And I'm telling you, man. Boom! It's kicked its butt. Now, I still got some cough, a little bit of coughs, a little bit of drains. I'm not trying to give you a medical history here, but the reality of it is, I'm a believer in that. If you don't have some hydroxychloroquine, this is the funny thing that happened. Because I was getting better. I couldn't get to sleep last night, and I heard the Holy Spirit say, take a hydroxychloroquine. And I ignored it. And I've just kind of laid there for a little. I'm sorry for this story. This isn't this kind of stuff. You got to hear the Lord. And I heard him again. He said, take some hydroxychloroquine. And it was right there on my counter. So I got up out of bed and I took it again last night because of a relapse, maybe. Whatever I'd picked up. Got to hear the Lord. Got to hear the Lord. And a lot of crazy stuff going on. It's Flea Flicker Friday. I really want to do a flea flicker. I got some stuff I got to show you. Joe's back from Denmark. I don't know why anybody would want to go to Denmark, but he went there. He's back and healthy, wealthy, and wise. Going to lead us in communion. Mel's got her hand up, so it must be important. Come on in, Mel.
It's so important. Thanks, Coach. Hey, Rochelle and I got together and we decided that we're going to continue our online Bible study next Thursday. So Spencer, if you can click on events and then just click on Ecclesia Bible Study number 3. What I did is I included the link that if you miss part 1 and part 2, go ahead and just scroll down there a little bit. Okay. Okay, so part 1 and part 2, if you miss part 1 and part 2, you can click on that link and you can listen to those. And we are moving into part 3, which is just, I think, the beginning of the second chapter. So if you've missed 1 and 2, you haven't missed, you know, too much content. You've missed a lot of discussion. But hey, we are fearlessly moving into Revelation and we're having a great discussion. So next Thursday, 7:00 Eastern time, to join the link where it just says Zoom link, click the link below to join. That's where you click to join. And Rochelle and I will be there on Thursday night next week at 7. Thanks, Coach.
Okay, so let me ask you something. Who's your trained expert? How can you study the Bible without a trained seminary expert?
You know who we have? We have the Holy Spirit.
Oh. Oh. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. So this idea that Christianity is corporate, no, no. It's individual. It's relational. It's me and you and us and on the internet, in my backyard, in your living room. That's Christianity, folks. And for they have so, well, you know my mantra. I'm not gonna jump on that thing right away. So I'm gonna get yourself some communion. Joe's back from Denmark, and we're here in the pre-show. You say, what's pre-show? Well, people get in there early, believe it or not. Go to Coach Dave Live and log on early and have some great discussions in the morning. And Joe was in the midst of one. And Joe, I'm not going to give you time to talk about all that, but at some point we'll get you back in there and talk about your experience. Folks, I got a word today, and I'm going to lay that word out there for you. Holy Spirit gave it to me. Those who are in the queue heard me say it. I said, the Holy Spirit gave me dystopia. Dystopia. What is that, Spencer? Look up. Hang on, I'm replaying it. What is that, Spencer? And he looked up dystopian. We're going to go there today. Get that off there, Spencer. Get that off there. We're going to go there today because something's happening here. And what it is becoming more and more clear. Remember, Satan is the author of confusion. And remember this, Jesus himself said in 2 Thessalonians that because we've rejected the truth, the Lord would send a strong delusion that we would believe a lie. That's dystopian. Oh, my goodness. My goodness. Let me catch my breath here. I got a lot going on. Huh? Let me throw this out here just before we get in here. Take our communion. Did you know they cremated Charlie Kirk? Nothing against cremation. They didn't do a medical autopsy? Are you kidding me? I'm going to talk a little bit about that here in a second. What the heck is dystopian? Something's happening here, right? What it is ain't exactly clear, I can tell you that. Come on in, Joe.
Thank you, Coach.
Welcome back. Welcome back.
Good to be back. It was nice to be where I used to live, but it feels better being back home. 1 Peter 1:18-25 is our reading today. And here we go. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold.
Bitcoin.
Or XRP. From your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers.
Wow. Right. I can preach right there. From your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers. Sometimes the traditions of your fathers is vain conversation. Unbelievable. Keep going, Joe.
But with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you.
Wait a minute, Joe, last times? Huh? What was manifest in these last times? Go ahead.
Who by him do believe in God that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God.
Amen.
Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently.
You purified your souls by obeying the truth. Wow.
Being born again not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever.
So the word of God is living, quickening. It's a quickening spirit. The word of God is, folks, liveth and by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. This is a mystery, isn't it, Joe? This is a, folks, this is a mystery, man.
For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you.
Is that unbelievable, man? What a picture that is.
Yeah, it's profound, and we sometimes need to come back and get a little reset button.
Yep. Amen.
Like that computer of yours that doesn't work anymore.
I got you, buddy. Pardon me, I don't have a cough button. I'm sorry, folks.
Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you again this morning and with gratitude in our hearts for this unique congregation, this unique family of brothers and sisters being led by a coach all over our great country, with and with a few sometimes in other parts of the world. Brought together by what a generation ago would have been almost magic, but now it's part of our technology. And we know, Lord, that the enemy is very prevalent in the technology, but we know that you are using it for your purposes. And we know that your use outweighs his abilities and his use. And so we come together this morning, and we see this world around us with everything in motion. Everything is in motion, Lord. I think it's probably difficult for Coach to see what he wants to talk about, and the Spirit has to tell him, because there's so much he could talk about. Everything is in motion. We do not live in a static world. The only thing that is unchanging, Lord, is your love and that which is firmly anchored to you.
Amen.
Everything else is in motion.
Amen.
And that is a good thing. So help, Lord, help those who have not heard the truth to wake up and start to hear it.
Mm. Amen.
So they aren't captured by that huge, big, firm delusion that you send those who don't listen to the truth.
Amen.
So let them wake up out of that, Lord, and let it be the kind of awakening that you get when you get a cold shower right on your face. Don't let it be slow, because maybe they don't have time for slow. Let them wake up quickly and give them the fortitude to handle it, Lord. They're all beautifully and wonderfully made, and they can handle it when you wake them up if you are in the awakening. And let them see what you are doing. Let them see how our society is being divided from the good to the, not just to bad, but to evil. There's real evil, Lord. And let let the evidence of that come forth in our news, and let those who have been lying to us repent, and let justice come and reign. Let us see righteous justice in this country, Lord, and let your will be done. Also give us protection. Send legions of angels to all of your servants. Here are brothers and sisters and our families and those around the world, all of those believing you, Lord. Send the angels to keep them safe and sound, and guide them in these times. Let us learn again to surrender. That's a strong thing to do. the strongest thing we can do is to surrender to you and to give you the wheel to drive our lives, the steering wheel. And we let go of it, Lord, because we know you know the path that we need to be on. And help us to have the strength and the fortitude and the faith to do what you say. To really, really, really surrender to you, Lord. And we also thank you for communion. This is an anchor point for us, Lord. This isn't one of those unchanging things. As anchored to you. And so we ask that you forgive us our sins and transgressions. So we are cleansed in your sight.
Amen.
And that our taking communion is not sinful. But this is as it should be. And we ask that you bless this bread and this drink, representing the body and the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, that was shed for us so many years ago, but only 2 days for you, Lord. And we come to you with gratitude. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, "Drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins." Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Boy, I could go in some depth there, man. Thanks, Joe.
You're welcome, sir.
Amen. James Thomas popped his hand up. Go ahead, James. This is kind of Flea Flicker Friday, by the way. Go ahead. Yeah,
thank you for that communion, brother. As you were talking about the blood, the Holy Spirit says that there's power in the blood.
Amen.
There's no matter where you go, the blood is always present. Amen.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Amen. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. Let me jump off here this morning. God, if it's 18 minutes into it, I couldn't get on my computer. I told my computer. Anyway, so I said, well, I'll just make it a Flea Flicker Friday. But you know me, I can't just do that. It is a Flea Flicker Friday. You can throw whatever you want to on the table this morning. But I got some stuff I just got to get out there. And as those of you who are in the pre-show, I said to Spencer, dystopian. I said, we're in a dystopian culture and a dystopian society. Remember this, it says in 2 Thessalonians, that because we've rejected, would you guys agree with me that we've rejected the truth in America? We've rejected the truth. Much of the church has rejected the truth. And the Bible says, maybe you can find that, Spencer, real quickly. I'm sorry. I think it's 2 Thessalonians, I think. Somebody help me out here. 2 Thessalonians 2, is it 3? Because we rejected the truth, the Lord will send a strong delusion. They believe a lie. I don't know if Spencer... Does anybody know where it is? I thought it was 2 Thessalonians 3. 2:11. Thank you, Beth. 2:11. Folks, come on now. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but have pleasure in unrighteousness. That's pretty critical verse right there, folks. Could it be that a lot of stuff that we see going on around us is from the Lord? From the Lord? How easily we're distracted. I look at the Charlie Kirk thing. Could anybody count for me the number of different ways Charlie Kirk was shot? It was a guy with a palm pistol. It was a guy with a high-powered rifle. It was a guy beside him. And then yesterday I saw it was a magnetic thing. Charlie's mic had a bullet in it. I'm not making this stuff up, folks. And who is the author of confusion and dystopianism? And when I came down here this morning, this is the word. You guys were watching. Holy Spirit said, dystopian describes an imaginary society characterized by human misery, oppression. Wait a minute. Imaginary. Imaginary society? Human misery, oppression, suffering, and lack of freedom. Often as an extreme negative reflection of current societal issues. It's the opposite of a utopia, perfect society, and can manifest as a tyrannical control, environmental decay, or social control through propaganda and fear. Benny, boom, would you? Benny, I need a boom. I need a boom.
Boom.
The term is often used for literature, film, and other media that depict these dark features. And the key characteristics? Oppressive controls. Societies are often governed by tyrannical regimes. Loss of individuality. Citizens may be forced to conform, leading to a dehumanized state. Yep, you have to accept transgenderism. You have to accept homosexuality. You have to accept things that go against your very nature. Loss of individuality. Propaganda and surveillance. Environmental degradation. Fear and misery. Screw off, Spencer, please. The lives of people are filled with fear, suffering, and despair, a stark contrast to superficially stable or pleasant exterior. It's the direct opposite of the kingdom of God. Do you understand this, folks? And it leads to social control. Often a powerful figurehead or concept is worshipped, or citizens are kept in constant state of fear or unrest. The term dystopian is the opposite of utopian and originates from Greek roots meaning bad place. Dystopian narratives serve as a powerful tool for social commentary, offering a pessimistic, exaggerated, worst-case scenario to criticize certain current social trends and warning against potential negative outcomes. Huh, folks? You saw the Holy Spirit speak that to me. And that's where we are. That's what we're dealing with. Yeah, Beth, they do. People call it the Matrix. What call it whatever you want to. And what's going on with the Charlie Kirk? I don't want to get bogged down on that, okay? I don't want to get bogged down on it. But I got some stuff I got to show you today. Remember this. I don't concentrate on it. I don't know who killed Charlie Kirk. I don't know who did. I know who all's involved. I don't know any of that. I know this, that there's some really unbelievable things. Some really unbelievable. Pull up, Spencer. Remember, I didn't have a computer this morning. So I just sent a couple things. And Rochelle, I got that one too. I'm telling you, folks. Pull up Charlie Kirk. Now, I don't know who wrote this, but well, I do. Rand Wolf. Okay. Is Charlie Kirk has already been cremated. Now scroll down. I just want to point out some things to you. Go on down. There's a timeline. Charlie Kirk was assassinated. 8 days later, his body's flown to Arizona aboard Air Force Two. Public memorial set, online memorials, yada, yada. When was he actually flown out of Utah to Arizona? Charlie Kirk was flown out of Arizona on Thursday, September 11th, aboard Air Force Two. Folks, I'm not going to take time to read it. Scroll down just a little bit more. This had me, shoo. The medical examiner's response, look, folks. Charlie Kirk was taken to this hospital immediately after being shot. He was pronounced dead at the hospital, but no detailed clinical timeline, such as resuscitation efforts, vital signs, time of death, has been publicly released. And after pronouncement, his body was transferred to Utah Office of Medical Examiner as required by state law in case of violent death. However, no official autopsy has been published nor released. We don't know what kind of bullet shot. We don't know anything about it. The medical examiner is responsible for certifying the cause of death. signing a death certificate, authorizing the release of the body. Without name, there's no accountability. We don't know who even inspected it. The flight, this is, folks, this is dystopian. Okay, I'm not going to put this in the chat. Put this in the chat, folks. They want us to believe that a 30-06 went into him, and he was in such good shape that the 30-06 didn't. That's what they're telling us, right? Okay, look, this is not about Charlie Cook. This is about the dystopian. If you continue to read this, you'll find the number of laws that were broken by taking that body immediately away. No examination done. No public autopsy report. Nobody telling us whether or not the bullet to kill him was actually a 30-06. No, nothing. No confirmation of any of that. And then he's immediately cremated. Something's happening here, folks. Something's happening here. Now, look. I don't want to make this about Charlie Kirk, okay? I always want this show to be about the spiritual battle that we find ourselves in, okay? This is not about Charlie Kirk. Charlie Kirk happens to be at the center of all this stuff. What the hell is going on? There's a total, complete pattern of deception everywhere you look. It's dystopian, is it not? Dystopian? What is it the Lord would want those of us who are not deceived, who understand something isn't right, what it is they want us to do? Pull up Joe Spurgeon, then I'm going to open it up here. Number two, you guys maybe don't know Joe Spurgeon. I know Joe. So I just found this. I couldn't get on Facebook. I couldn't do anything. I'm going to get. Joe Spurgeon wrote this. I get being angry at the wickedness around us. I'm pissed off, more than pissed off. I'm angry at the fecklessness of our civil leaders to rein in evil. I'm sick of false compassion that puts good people in harm's way. I'm angry at those who have overloaded our nation with immigrants and allowed illegal invasion. I'm angry at those who show more loyalty to Israel than to the United States. By the way, Joe's a pastor. I am angry at pastors who lack courage, who whisper about sexual immorality and abortion, who will not speak hard truths. I'm angry at BLM and the woke garbage that infiltrated so long ago. I hate feminism and what it has done to families and to young men and women. I'm furious that Charlie Kirk was murdered and that people celebrated. I want our leaders to bring justice and crush evil. Let me stop right here a second. Everybody's making such a big deal. Oh, Erica Kirk, she forgave him. Where is the anger? Can you be angry? Can you forgive and be angry? Can you forgive and be angry? And if she really loves her husband and she loves justice, then she must demand the death of that guy who did that, whoever that might be. I forgive you, dude, but you got a price to pay. And then in the afterlife, if you receive Jesus, it'll be covered. But you ain't going to do that crap and get away. See, that sounds so unchristian. It sounds so harsh to demand justice. I do not need anyone to make me angry. I already am. I appreciate solidarity with my brothers who feel the same. But what I actually need is men and pastors who help me channel this anger righteously.
Boom,
men who will not fear or tell me I must give up Christian virtue in order to win. Men who teach what the Psalms say, put away malice, do not fret over evildoers, do good, trust God. I do not need Absaloms who whisper, if only I were king. I need brothers who call me and others to righteousness. Yeah, we should hate evil and expose wickedness. Yeah, We need bold pastors to speak truth and encourage faithfulness in every realm, even the civil. Yeah, Christians have duties as citizens to protest, to write, to speak, to hold leaders accountable, to shame wickedness, use every lawful means. But we must do it as Christians. We must still love our neighbor. We should love Charlie Kirk so much that we demand justice for him. See, loving our neighbors doesn't mean always forgiving sin. Sorry. We must love our neighbors, preach the gospel, keep a clean conscience, and pursue sincere faith. We must not let anger harden into malice or despair. Folks, the other side's full of malice and despair. If you're not angry at evil, I question if you even know God. But be mindful. The anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Be angry and do not sin is a concession. We must remember the warning of scriptures. We must know our own hearts and how easily anger can turn to sin. We do not need voices that demand we lay aside holiness to win. That is not victory. Charlie Kirk's death deserves justice. I don't need pastors who act as if there's no reason to be angry. Who bury their heads and think the worst problem we face is men want to do something about this. Pray for your pastors that they may be faithful and courageous. Pray that you will heed their corrections and their exhortations. I don't know about you. I want a Christian nation. I want Christian families. I want Christian nationalism. But it must be Christian. And it must flow from righteousness, not rage. Can I tell you something? Niemöller said, somebody came by, Niemöller was in jail, and a pastor comes by and visits him in jail and said, "Brother Niemöller, what did you do that would get you in here?" And Niemöller's response was, "Why aren't you here? Why aren't you here?"
Amen.
The men of God, the righteous men of God, won't stand up and lead at this time of crisis. Why would anybody want to be a Christian? Why would anybody want to be a Christian? Come on in, Mark.
If we can't lay aside holiness to win, and this is the toughest thing, is to be angry and sin not, to be angry. And I need a lens more than anybody. And that's what pastors are supposed to do. And luckily I have a coach to help with that. But, but I think America needs to wake up. And what I think about this whole Charlie Kirk thing, Coach, is it took over the news cycle. The news cycle led by the media. And if the media is all in alignment, who else is in alignment with that message in this wave of distraction?
And Mark, all they can do is tell lies. All the media can do is tell lies and repeat lies.
What are they not telling us, Coach? They gave us 2 weeks of Charlie Kirk. What is going on that they're actually doing? They are not doing Charlie Kirk stuff. They're showing it on TV, so they're doing some other stuff. What's in the other hand, Coach? Nothing takes over the news cycle this long. Nothing. What was happening right before it? What was happening right before it, Coach? It was all this Israeli stuff. You know, it was all of that in the news cycle. So if you just watch what drops out of the news cycle and gets replaced by these events, the sheep are going to blow around. They're just going to blow around like the grass. They're going to follow whatever's on the news. We can't be subject to that. We have to look at the other locations that's not on the news cycle.
Amen.
And
Amen.
I don't know how we find out what's going on, Coach, but it's going to be as major as they took over to distract us. Whatever they are doing is just as big as this Charlie Kirk thing. And y'all are all pointing to the fact that something's funny with it, Coach. That means it was set up. That means they did it for this period of time so they could get something else done.
Yeah, brother.
Okay. Yeah. I don't know what it is, Coach, but we need people looking the other way, not Charlie Kirk.
Something going on, folks. Something really big going on. By the way, I didn't even mention it. Comey arrested. I don't want to go down that trail, but folks, look.
Amen.
People said Trump is getting his revenge. Friends, it was a grand jury that indicted Comey. Trump didn't go arrest him. Evidence was presented to a grand jury, and they said, by God, that guy's wicked. And what do? They distract us. Oh, it's just Trump getting revenge. Trump's after his enemy. I'm going to tell you this, friends. There's some expose. I don't know what it is coming down the road that is going to blow our mind. And I'm going to tell you this. Barack Obama will be one of the next ones arrested. And you better buckle in for the pushback from the Luciferians when that happens. Come on in, Judah.
Yeah, Coach. Absolutely fabulous. Mark, you're spot on. And if you understand the machine is what's causing them to say, hey, we need to start creating the biggest distraction. Because when all the news comes out, guess what? From every angle of Charlie Kirk, this new thing's going to pop up. Let me get your attention here. Oh, this new thing's going to pop up. Yep. This new thing's going to pop up. The media is playing people like puppets. Mm. And while all this stuff goes on behind the scenes, the 33 crowd is going to try to control the news. I thought it was really interesting.
Prince of the power of the air, folks. The prince of the power of the air. The media, the prince of the power of the air. Go ahead.
I was just in massive prayer yesterday on this topic. And I'm like, Lord, just show me, like, what is going on here? And this came to me. He's like, go check out Franklin Graham's posts. So I started reading through his stuff. And what do you know? Franklin Graham. Because of some of my history and just the background of it, it became super clear. The last major thing we went through was COVID. And who was out front leading the COVID charge about getting the shots? Franklin Graham. You know what's fabulous? Right now, if you go and check out all his stuff, Franklin Graham is doubling down on it was Taylor who took this shot. From that range, he's making posts, he's doing all kinds of stuff, he's going around speaking about Taylor.
The young man that did it.
Exactly. And if anyone's into shooting into the topics and educated, a 30-odd six from that range would have exploded Charlie's head. Mm-hmm. Clearly on display. Doesn't matter. There's the physics, the science got involved. I don't care. It would have exploded his entire head. It would have been the messiest, ugliest thing we've ever seen. And so that story is clear now to the American public, for anyone who actually understands ballistics, that is not what happened.
And everything else gets muddier than water from it. He was not shot with that strong a caliber.
Right. And if you look in Ephesians 5:13, but the evil intentions will be exposed when the light shines on them, for the light makes everything visible. What I'm seeing is being very visible is the group around Franklin Graham, this 33 club, is obviously being exposed. Wow, these masons are being exposed. These controllers of the media are being exposed. Mm. And in that whole topic, I was like, man, what is going on here? And for some reason, the song of Pink Floyd came to mind. The Machine. If you go in there and listen to that song, it is wildly fabulous, but we're waking up to the machine.
Amen.
The machine that was put in place, Christians are now starting to go, wow, the veil is breaking. What is the veil?
Yeah.
These Israeli controllers of the cabal, It's their black magic. This magic is now being exposed. It's called the breaking of the eights. There's something right now that's being held. It's the occult. In Freemasonry, they deal with magic at the top levels and the degrees. And if you don't understand it, you just don't understand it. And if you're just a Christian who's uneducated in terms of Bible history, and what the real Khazarian Jews and the Kabbalists actually study is demonic, and you understand that they practice that, what are they doing? They created a ritual, and that's now the distraction for everybody that's in play. And the media is now trying to use it as controlling. And I think what's happening right now, it's so bad. God's hand is moving, and people are waking up going, wow, this is not
right. Hey, man.
This is
but folks. Let me say that. I'm with you, Judah. I want to move on. We'll get some others in here. Let me make this point again. You are brainwashed. There's a difference between the Jews, who are God's chosen people, and the government of Israel. They are not the same. You think Benjamin Netanyahu is a godly man? Huh? Come on. Come on. Lord would send a strong delusion that they would believe a lie. Call me anti-Semitic. I'm not anti-Semitic. Why would I not love a Jewish man? Well, I don't even know him. But something wicked's going on in that government. I promise you that. Joe Allen, come on in.
Well, we all are trying to be watchers. Since 1941, we have not ever had this done since then. I joined the military in 1982. We are having, from the rank of majors on up, meeting up here or in Virginia here shortly. Since 1941, we never had this happen. Hmm. We had a president at that time stood up for 6 hours warning us about the military complex. We're all trying to be watchers.
Mm. And Joseph, said, we have to understand that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against evil spirits in high places. Psalm 2, throw it up there for me real quickly before I get James in here. Psalm 2. Come on, man. Come on, man. Come on. Why do the heathen rage? Are they raging? Are the heathen raging? And are the people imagining a vain thing? The people can't connect it. The people cannot connect what's going on. The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed. I'm going to say it. Bibi Netanyahu, anointed? Is he anointed of God? He doesn't even believe in Jesus Christ. You understand that? Let us break their bands asunder, cast away their cords from us. Because he that sits in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. Are we in derision, folks? Is the world in derision? You want to talk about end time prophecy? There it is. He that sitteth in the heavens is going to laugh. He's laughing at him. Nothing hidden that will not be revealed. It's all unfolding in front of us. And I hate to tell you this. Some of you are going to have to readjust your, in my opinion, what you've been taught in your churches. Sorry. Randy.
Coach, the verse that Judah put up there, Ephesians 5, the light is the only thing that exposes darkness, right? Yep. But who's the light of the world, Coach? It's Christ Jesus, right?
Yes. Yes.
Okay, who's in me? Who's in you?
Jesus
Christ. In me, the hope of glory. The Holy Spirit is the light. He's the illuminator on the earth right now, Coach. Amen. So look, okay, we can talk about all the operations, the Q and the operations and those, whatever's going on. Are they the light, Coach, or are we the light that are responding to what's going on now and doing something is that the light that's exposing that darkness, or is it someone else? Coach, let me say this without arrogance. I believe, Coach, because we picked up the game, the remnant is the light.
I think so, too.
And I believe our obedience is what abolishes the darkness, displaces the darkness, and brings the light in to bring judgment to that darkness.
Amen.
So, Coach, we can say all we want and talk about, oh, please, Mr. Government, bring justice, or are we the key to bringing justice? I say, Coach, we are the light of the world because Christ is in us. We are the key to the justice in our nation. We are.
Amen. 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 So Randy, let's say this, friends. Are you guys looking at me? Let's say, for instance, the slaughter of unborn children. Have you ever noticed that the devil's after the seed? He's always been after the seed. He's always after God's children. Have you noticed it? Transgenderism, pedophilia, abortion. At what point is the American church, if statistics are true, about 50% of, maybe 60% of Americans consider themselves to be Christian, whatever that means. Maybe 60%, let's say. Let's say it's 50-50. Well, why is abortion legal? If it's a 50-50 issue. Huh? Why is that? And why won't those of us who are, I don't know, Spencer, Google it real quick. So just Google what percent of Americans are pro-life. See if you can find that. What percent of Americans, not Christians, what percent of Americans are pro-life? You see it? I mean, I'm looking. 43% of Americans identify as pro-life. 43%. So we got 20% that don't care one way or another. Hardcore pro-aborts are what? 20%, 25%, and yet we can't get the church to rise up and mobilize its people to stop the slaughter of children. Can't you understand that the fight is for the seed? They're after the children. They've taken over the schools. They're teaching them transgenderism in the schools, homosexuality in the schools. They're teaching them abortion in the schools, and the church sits back and does what? The whole creation groans, waiting for God's people to show up. Can somebody tell me something? Are there any pastors out there? Are they too righteous to say pissed? Are there any pastors out there pissed off? Bible says be angry and sin not. The Bible doesn't say don't be angry.
Amen.
The Bible says be angry.
Amen.
And sin not. What does that mean? If I know that the guy across the street is dangling little boys, I'm not accusing him. I don't know. Am I going to look the other way? And I know about it, and I'm not going to do anything about it? Do you understand, Pastor? Do you understand, people, that they're murdering little children in Planned Parenthoods with your tax dollars and barely a peep from Christians? That's the strong delusion that the Lord sent. So you going to believe that lie? All right. You ain't seen nothing yet, man. Huh? You ain't seen nothing yet. That's where I think we are. James.
Yeah. What? You know, those who listen to the Holy Spirit or hear the Holy Spirit, there are supernatural shifts that's taking place a lot. COVID brought a really supernatural shift into this world. So I know what you're saying in regards to this strong delusion. The Holy Spirit in 1 Timothy chapter 4, it says, now the Spirit speaks expressly. When the Holy Spirit puts these in words, it's kind of, we need to pay attention to what it's saying. That in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. This is, you will not find truth in regards to anything anymore. It's not possible to get to the real truth unless you have the Holy Spirit in you saying, this is what the truth is. And that's subject to interpretation of what we've been taught. So I think the word is the dark is going to get darker. And those who love the word are going to be more anointed to do what we're called to do in this end days. Amen.
We're the light of the world, folks. We are the light of the world. The whole creation groaneth, waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. excuse me. I've been kind of on a tear this morning. Somebody come on. Ray's got something. Ray, I was going to play your video this morning. I don't think I have time to do it right now. God bless. Hey, folks. God bless a lot of you out there who are engaging in the game, stepping into the battle. God bless you.
Yeah. No, Coach. Sometimes the Lord just picks me up. I do stupid stuff in the middle of the night. But, you know, that's a burden on all of our hearts, the abortion issue, the drag queens and all of that. And we're all to take some kind of part in it, you know. And, you know, you've given us pretty good guidance and direction on how to get involved. And many of us are just trying to follow that to the best of our abilities, and just appreciate you plugging for us and for, you know, for all that you do to encourage us. So, I want to give thanks.
So Ray, I was looking, I'm kind of all over the place. I'm small. Yeah. See, the Christian world just went gaga over Charlie's wife forgiving that guy.
Yeah.
Right. Oh, in other words, you can do whatever you want to a Christian. It's okay. You know what she should have said? I'm not being critical of her, okay? Come on. Wouldn't she say, I forgive him, but I demand justice. My husband's life was worth something. I demand justice. I forgive him, but I demand justice. No, that's not even a Christian virtue.
Amen. Anymore.
Is that even a Christian virtue anymore? Huh? Yeah, I forgive you, dude. I forgive you. But you're going to have to pay a price for it, man. You killed my husband, and I forgive you for it, but you got to pay up, buddy. That's not even Christian anymore. That's not even Christian anymore. Oh, we love him. I forgive him. Oh, She's trying to forgive him. How do you forgive something like that? How do you forgive something like that? And the same message comes down. My good friend John Brockhoff said, Christianity doesn't advance because they don't fear Christ. Dave Allison.
Yeah, Coach. Yeah, the distractions are off the charts. When Fred Hans fired up his semi-truck this morning in the pre-show, put his dash cam on, it looked like it was foggy where he was at. How would you like to be driving a semi truck this morning in the fog? And I feel like that's what we're doing here. We're in the fog, man. And you got to go slow. When you're in the fog, you got to go slow. And I'd like to politely disagree with the ballistics comments that have been made here this morning. I've shot OT6 many times. But OT6 doesn't hit solid bone. It doesn't explode. Hits the neck. It'll go right straight through and leave a hole about the same size that goes out the other side. The other thing people don't realize, OT6, they have a sabot round. If I was going to, I'm not going to, but if I was going to be an assassin and shoot somebody with OT6, I would use a sabot round. Here's why. A sabot round has a plastic casing around the outer side of the bullet. And when it goes down through the barrel, it leaves no trace of rifling. You can't trace the bullet. And so there's a lot of things with OT6 that you can do that hasn't been discussed here. So I politely disagree. You can be shot in the neck with OT6, and it'll exit right back out. That ballistics.
So where did his kid figure that out, I wonder?
Well, I don't know. But at the end of the day, the ballistics things that was shared with the guy shooting the ballistics mannequin right square in the noggin, absolutely, it exploded. But Charlie Kirk didn't get shot in the middle of the head.
No.
So
right.
I would like to politely disagree, and I think there's a little bit of misnomers going on. But anyways.
Yeah, I get it. Distractions, confusion. I'm with you. I'm with you.
But one other thing about, you're right, what Charlie's wife said, and pay attention, she says, we didn't do any. She said, we didn't burn anything down. We didn't do anything, and everybody applauded. What she was saying, we were attacked, and we didn't do anything, and everybody applauded.
Yeah.
So that's where we're at.
Amen. Amen. And they arrested Comey, finally. And I hope they will go get Obama and all those other people. But, folks, you better buckle up. You better buckle up. Randy, go ahead. We got, got 5 minutes here.
So, Coach, yes, you're preaching the other half of the gospel when you talk about righteousness and justice.
Judgment,
Coach,
brother. Judgment.
We have to do that, Coach. We are in that moment. We have to do this. But, Coach, also, even though she doesn't understand that, Erica, or most of the church doesn't, let me say this as principle. We do need to forgive because Jesus forgave them on the cross. Stephen forgave those who were stoning him.
But wait a minute. Jesus paid the price on the cross. He didn't just forgive them.
Amen, Coach.
The price.
But here's my point, Coach. As if we actually care enough to, when we lay down our life, if it comes to martyrdom, and we can look people in the eye as they're killing us and say, you know what? I forgive you. What that does, it's not for me. I'm getting ready to die. What that does, it releases God after that to bring judgment and justice to the situation, Coach.
That's right.
That's what it does. That's what Jesus said. Because I forgive them, guess what's going to come on you? They said to him, let your blood be on us and our children. Guess what? It was. And guess what, Stephen, when they stoned him, he forgave them. You know what he did? He opened the door for God to bring judgment and justice to the situation. He brought, because of his obedience, Coach, he brought Paul. He made Saul become Paul. He came into the kingdom because of that martyrdom. Coach, we got to see the both halves of this thing, and we got to preach both of these. Yes, we got to forgive, but yes, it demands justice, and God is going to bring it if we will.
Amen. Amen.
Show them.
So she should have stood before America and say, as much as able within me, I forgive him, but I demand justice for my husband.
Amen.
That would have been a Christian point of view, right? I demand justice. I forgive him, but I demand justice. Mark Trump.
Amen, Coach. But what is forgiveness and justice? Okay, how can you have both? Well, aren't we kind of a dual being?
Mm.
So you got flesh. Flesh needs judgment, Coach.
Yeah.
The spirit. Okay. So the flesh gets the end of the judgment so that the flesh can't act out anymore.
Mm.
The spirit lives on.
That's right.
So you got judgment. And you got forgiveness. You forgive the spirit and judge the flesh, Coach. You forgive that person's spirit.
Boom.
But you don't let that flesh continue on.
Oh, brother. Come on.
Amen. We're dual beings, and justice and forgiveness needs both, Coach. You need a spirit man and you need a flesh man. And the flesh man gets locked up. Amen.
An eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth is what the scripture says, right? Because we're spirit men.
Amen. That's right.
Amen. Oh, man. Dale.
Coach, I love you. Many years agree. This I disagree with. Read Fox's Book of Martyrs, and you're going to find that these were the forefathers of the saints, those who were martyred for their salvation, for their proclamation, burned at stakes. Never will you see or hear them say, forgive them, now judge them. Now, the beautiful thing about Erica's testimony is that with Donald Trump right there, what you saw was a true picture of Romans 13. It's not Erica's job to bring justice. It's Donald Trump's. That's what Romans 13 is. It's easy for us to say that, walk in her shoes one day, and then think if you can say that. To me, that was more powerful and profound than anything else. But I'm telling you, when we want to, all of a sudden, we want to say, I forgive you, but I'm going to tell you what, that's really not forgiveness, that's vengefulness. Now, read Fox's Book of Martyr out there, folks. Let me tell you what, that brought around the first That brought around Reformation. That brought around the first great revival. This is bringing, I believe what we're seeing right now, witnessing, this is not a revival. This is the third great awakening. Coach, real quick, you know this? The second great awakening was by a man named Charles Finney here in America. We're seeing the third great awakening by a man named Charles. His real name is Charles, not Charlie. I think that's awesome.
Got to run. Is today Friday? Have a great weekend.